appreciation for your being here. We say it so often, but we do, can't say it sincerely. It's just good to get together and assemble to give our worship to our Heavenly Father. So I'm very thankful for your desire to be here. Yeah, we have so many guests with us again today. I appreciate that so very, very much. And Vince, I see you back there. You came a long way, all the way from the Philippines, but I haven't seen you since last year when you were here. Good to see you, brother. And family. Better not just say hi to Vince.
We're in trouble.
I'll be in trouble. My tongue will get me in trouble. In trouble all the time. But that's our lesson today. It's titled Tongue Trouble. There is an outline in the bulletin. If you'd like to follow along, very welcome to do that. And I'll let you ahead of time. Well, I will not finish this lesson today. So don't look at the dirty dozen words and thinking that we're going to be here till 3 o'clock and you'll have to send out for lunch. But we'll stop when it's time. So take heart. Put in your notes in Proverbs 21, verse 23. Whoso keeps his mouth and his tongue keeps his soul from troubles. I've been in enough trouble in my life that I know I don't like to be in trouble. Dictionary definition. Trouble. This means you're agitated. You're in distress. If you're in trouble, something disturbing is going on. If you're in trouble, it means you are unsettled. I like to be settled. Fixed. If you're in trouble, you're upset. One definition of trouble says to be in a situation where one is not protected. Whoa. Not protected. You're in trouble. It's an uncomfortable feeling. You're in trouble. But from the text that was read to us, the tongue causes a lot of our troubles. Our tongue gets us in trouble with God. It gets us in trouble with one another. You know, I'm not excluded from this lesson. I've been told, watch your mouth. Bite your tongue. Zip your lips. Think before you speak. And all of that was just yesterday. it happens all the time. Proverbs 13, verse 3. Says, he that keeps his mouth keeps his life. But he that opens wide his lips shall have destruction. Solomon, in other words, is telling you and me, it's destructive to have no bounds on your lips. It's destructive if you cannot restrain what you say, or guard, or govern your speech. We need to know, phrase was, when to speak our mind and when to mind our speak. I remember as a youngster, not very long ago, but one of our favorite songs in Vacation Bible School and even Bible class back in Michigan was Be Careful, Little Eyes, What You See. The song would go and you have all the body part. Be careful, start out, Be careful, little eyes, what you see. Be careful, little eyes, what you see. There's a Father up above looking down in tender love, so be careful, little eyes, what you see. Then you would go, be careful, little ears, what you hear. Be careful, little lips, what you say. Be careful, little hands, what you do. Be careful, little feet, where you go. Then the last stanza would put them all together. So watch your eyes, ears, lift your hands, your feet. Watch your eyes, ears, lift your hands, your feet. The Father up above looking down in tender love, so watch your eyes, ears, your lips, your hands, your feet. Watch your lips, is our lesson this morning. Watch your lips. We're going to list some ways in which the tongue causes trouble. This time I've exhausted the list. The Bible list. The Bible warns against blasphemy with our lips, boastful talk. So there's other words that are listed. So we'll just go as far as we can. I'll watch my tongue as I watch the clock. My clock is stopped. So I'll turn every once in a while, and you don't have to hold on your watch. I will. I will. God's name in vain. In the Old Testament, it was one of the commandments. Thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain. For the Lord will not hold him guiltless that takes his name in vain. You think of vain, what are you thinking of? What is the commandment here? Don't take the name of the Lord in vain. Means, by definition, an irreverent mention of God. When you take God's name in vain, it means you just spit out that word God for no reason. That means you shout out God in emptiness, or it's a worthless use of the word God. That's what it means. God's name is taken in vain when we use it flippantly. You say, oh God, for no reason. You know, like, OMG. And people, they use that phrase sometimes as an exclamation. We might say, wow. They say, oh my God. Why would you say that? If you're looking for other words, I can give you a list. You need some word replacement for oh my God. I can furnish that for you. You know, my parents wouldn't even let me use an interjection or a euphemism for God's name. I couldn't even say, golly. Brian, zip your lips. Watch your mouth. Or gee whiz. What's wrong with that? What's a flippant use of God's name? It's a euphemism. It's an interjection. Or I couldn't even say, gosh darn. Or gosh dang. Things like that. Text says the Lord will not hold him guiltless. We might say, what's so bad about that? Well, wait a minute. God says, don't do that. Psalm 111, verse 9. Says, holy and reverent is his name, God's name. When Jesus taught the disciples to pray, after he mentions in Matthew 6, verse 9, after this manner pray ye, our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Jesus taught reverence for the Father's name. He said, I want it to be hallowed. Have respect for it. Treat it with reverence. Number two, cursing and profanity. Obvious one. In the text that was read to us in James 3, verse 10. Out of the same mouth proceeds blessing and cursing. My brethren, these things should not happen. Wow. So don't raise your hand, but Does that happen to you or me? I'm quick to say, yo, bless God, praise God, thank you, God. Give God credit and give God glory, but then what about other times? In the Old Testament, it had severe consequences. We don't do this today. We lose a generation. In Leviticus chapter 24, beginning of verse 13, the Lord spake to Moses. He said, bring forth him that hath cursed outside the camp. And in this situation, the verses preceding it, it was a young man, a son. And said, and let all that heard him lay their hands upon his head, and let all the congregation stone him. He's in trouble. Tongue gets us in trouble. I saw this in a bulletin years ago, and I cut it out. The General George Washington wrote in his orderly book, August 3rd, 1776, General George Washington, I'm sorry to be informed that the foolish and wicked practice of profane swearing, a vice heretofore little known in the American army, is growing into fashion. Now, you Navy guys. the General George Washington, that this was little known. But he says it's a foolish and wicked practice, profane swearing. So he writes, I hope that the officers will, by example and influence, endeavor to check it, and that both they and the men will reflect, notice, think about it, that we have but little hope of the blessing of heaven on our arms, our military, our weapons. That we will have little hope of the blessing of heaven on our arms if we insult him, meaning God, by our impiety and folly. Added to this, it's a vice so mean and low that every man of sense and character detests and despises it. So what do you think of swearing? General George Washington. Cursing and profanity. Number three, flattery. Flattery. Psalm 12, verse 2. They speak vanity, every one with his neighbor, with flattering lips and with a double heart do they speak. The Lord shall cut off their flattering lips and the tongue that speaks proud things. Flattering lips? What's wrong with a little flattery? I remember the story one time of a husband forgot his wife's birthday. Husbands don't do that. Usually you only do that once. Husbands don't forget your wife's birthday. But he said, honey, I'm sorry, but how do you expect me to remember your birthday when you never look a day older? Are you writing that down, Rick? Don't try that at home. Good to compliment, but flattery gets you in trouble. Flattery, by definition, it's to praise insincerely to gain favor for yourself. That encompasses the whole definition of flattery. It's not just giving a compliment. It's the idea, I'm going to say this so I can get something in return. It's a false praise. By dictionary definition. In Proverbs 26, verse 28, says that a flattering mouth works ruin. In Proverbs 29, verse 5, a man that flatters his neighbor spreads a net for his feet. It's not a strong foundation. Paul said this when he was preaching, the Apostle Paul. 1 Thessalonians 2, beginning at verse 3. So the Apostle Paul says, For our exhortation was not of deceit, nor of cleanliness, nor in guile, but as we were allowed of God to be put in trust with the gospel, even so we speak, not as pleasing men, but God. For neither at any time used we flattering words, as you know, nor a cloak of covetousness. God is witness. So Paul wanted to know that when he was delivering that gospel message that he was entrusted with, he was not using flattering speech, trying to get something back in gain for giving a good news message. No. As God has entrusted me, flattery. Number four is evil speaking. Evil speaking. Ephesians 4, verse 31. Let all bitterness, wrath, anger, and clamor, and evil speaking be put away from you. And with all malice. This evil speaking, I put in your notes, it's speech that's morally bad or wrong. In other words, the kind of speech or the content of that speech is wicked. 4, verse 11 says, speak not evil one of another. In 1 Peter 2, verse 1, wherefore laying aside all malice and all guile and hypocrisies and all evil speakings. So the content of our message to one another, when it's about one another, says, don't speak the evil. In 1 Peter 3, verse 10, put that one in your notes. 1 Peter 3, verse 10, he who would love life and see good days, oh, my hand goes up on that one. Anybody here want to love life and see good days? Let him keep his tongue from evil and his lips from speaking deceit. That's our lesson. Number 5, in your notes, is lying and deceit. Again, the commandment. Exodus 20, verse 16. Thou shalt not bear false witness against thy neighbor. A false witness. Proverbs 6, verse 16 speaks of those things that the Lord hates. 6 things, 7 are abominations. And in that list is that phrase, a false witness that speaks lies. Proverbs 19, verse 1. Better is the poor that walks in his integrity. I'd rather be poor and have my integrity than he that is perverse in his lips and is a fool. I want to speak the truth. This seed, you think, well, I know what that is. I know what a lie is, but hear the definition again. To make another believe what is not true. Someone else to believe something that is not true. It's dishonest. It's fraud by definition. It's false. It's interesting, I put in your notes, so that's why when you have to make an oath in court, you promise to tell the truth. Well, sure, I'll tell the truth. Oh, wait a minute. The whole truth. Oh, okay. Wait a minute. Nothing but the truth. So it's kind of a sequence there. Remember when I was teaching school, and two kids might have to come in front of me, and one of them, first of all, would say, well, he hit me. Well, that was the truth. He hit me. That guy hit him. I would say, but don't tell me what he did. Tell me what you did. Did you hit him first? Oh, yeah. I did. When he just says, he hit me, well, that's the truth. But wait a minute, the whole truth. I hit him first. Nothing but the truth. Proverbs 12, verse 22, lying lips are an abomination to the Lord. Lying and deceit. Number 6, tale-bearing and gossiping. I'll close with this one. Tale-bearing and gossiping. Leviticus 19, verse 16. Thou shalt not, don't do it, not go up and down, back and forth, to and fro, here and there. Don't go on a journey to become a talebearer. Thou shalt not go up and down, don't go all over the place, as a talebearer among thy people. And you think, what's so wrong about talebearing? Switch the word, I'm just bearing a tale. I'm just telling a story. Of course, it's always about another. Proverbs 26, verse 20. Where there is no wood, the fire goes out. No wood, no fire. So, where there is no talebearer, the strife ceases. So what's wrong with telling a tale? It causes strife. Proverbs 11, verse 13. A talebearer reveals secrets. Secret, you're not supposed to tell them. But he that is of a faithful spirit conceals the matter. In Proverbs 16, verse 27, the ungodly man digs up evil, and his lips are as a burning fire. In Proverbs 17, verse 9, he that covers a transgression seeks love, but he that repeats a matter separates friends. Proverbs 18, verse 8. The wounds of a talebearer, or the words of a talebearer are as wounds. They go down into the innermost parts of the belly. Yeah. When you tell a tale, when it hurts, it's going to hurt someone. You, it might even hurt the other. I just put one of them in your notes. Someone collected these thoughts on rumors. He said, concerning rumors, nothing as effective as a bunch of facts to spoil a good rumor. Don't confuse me with the facts. It spoils the rumor. Someone else said there's a new margarine on the market named Rumor because it spreads so easily. Someone else said it's easier to float a rumor than to sink one. Now put rumortism in your notes. Someone else said, how can rumors without a leg to stand on get around so fast? Well, here are at least six things we started with in our lesson this morning. I'm not going to finish this lesson, continue it next week, we'll do something else, but this gives you the idea, and I just gave you a listing of things for your consideration in our lesson this morning. And again, not that I'm exempt from this, but it's just a reminder for you and for me to fight our tongue. At the close of the lesson, we sing a song of encouragement, a song of exhortation. Maybe one here this morning is not a member of the New Testament church. You're not a Christian. And so we have a simple plan, a procedure, a recipe, if you will, for becoming a Christian. First, you need to hear the good news message. How can you, Paul's in Romans chapter 10, how can you believe in someone you haven't heard of or heard about? So you need to hear that message. And then you need to believe that message that God so loved the world He sent His Son. Believe that. And then the third part of that recipe or those steps or that plan, that formula, means that you'll need to repent. Jesus said in Luke 13, verse 3, repent or perish. Then number four, you'll want to confess your faith that Jesus Christ is God's Son. And then when you confess your faith, you can be baptized for remission of sins, and rise to walk in newness of life, as Paul says in Romans chapter 6. So that's the invitation we extend. That plan, that recipe, that formula on how to become a Christian. We do this every time we assemble. So there may be one here this morning that's not a member of the New Testament church. You're not a Christian. You want to follow that plan. Maybe others here that simply need to let a request for prayer to be known. And you want to share that request while we're assembled, we have that opportunity also. So let's stand together and sing the song that Des has selected for us.